The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome in. We are live here on a Wednesday afternoon. We're in the middle of the week, a day before the draft. And yesterday we had Nick Saban on, and today we have one of his most famous pupils, Kirby Smart, to help you get ready for the upcoming season. There's a lot to do. Your phone calls can start coming in right now at 855-242-7285. But let's talk about some breaking news overnight concerning the playoff. Remember the other day we started hearing, well, could it be 6, 8, 10? Who do we appreciate? How about 12? That according to Andy Staples and Stuart Mandel in The Athletic, a story overnight says that they could end up doing 12, and it could be sooner than you think. This is Bill Hancock right here 2 days ago.
Again, I can't stress this enough. It's inappropriate and too soon to read too much into this conversation, but they have been talking. As you know, we're getting ready to enter the eighth year of the 12-year agreement and for the four-team tournament. Nothing is imminent. Good grief, we don't know whether any change might happen, much less when it might take place. But as we reported, the working group has talked about 4, 8, 10, 12, 16. It's just smart to have all the options on the table, and all the options have been on the table for the working group.
And that working group includes commissioners, including Greg Sankey, Bob Bowlesby, Jack Swarbrick. So those are the guys that really matter in all this. And then the management council ultimately makes the decision. Well, that's not the only story making the world of sports. We talked about the draft. Have you heard this before? Who's going number three? Just kidding. I know you have. But two more days of it. This is the headline in The Ringer. And these are the quarterbacks that are projected to go in the first two rounds. Trevor, of course, Zach Wilson, Mac, especially expected to go third. Trey Lance, that's the new one on the board. Justin Field right now at the 10 position. To say it's a quarterback's draft would be an understatement. And what are we going to do here today? We will get you ready for the draft in a couple of moments with our first guest. He's at the bottom of the hour. Many other guests will be joining us as well. Trevor Sikkema from Draft Network, he's on in a couple of minutes. Kirby Smart, eager to hear from him. A lot of people think he may have the best team in the country. We'll find out after the first game. They take on Clemson. Andy Staples on the playoff. I'm not sure I'm reading that correctly. Marcus Spears. Not familiar with that name. He'll join us at 6 p.m. right here. And your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. It's 855-242-7285. I say this occasionally. It gets crowded as we go throughout the program. By the end of the show, it's hard to get in early. Not that difficult. So give us a ring. We'll take the calls right now and start with Christian, who is in Alabama. Hello, Christian.
What's going on, Paul? How you doing today?
What's up with you?
Not much, man. I'm ready for the draft tomorrow night. And I will say, you mentioned Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network. I love reading up on all their content and everything. I'm looking forward to hearing from him. I love I listened to his podcast, Locked On NFL Draft. But I wanted to talk real quick. I'll give my thoughts on the 49ers deal. I really don't think it matters who they take. Obviously, though, it seems like it's either going to be Fields or Jones. I just have that kind of feeling that they'll end up taking Justin Fields, but we'll just have to wait and see for Thursday night. And then I wanted to call in. I recently have moved up to Alabama. I've called up quite a few times on here, talked about my sportscasting career, and I'm in the progress of trying. I mean, just a bunch of family stuff going on, and so I moved up here. I'm trying to get back in school, and, I'm getting back on track.
So, Christian, let me ask you. I know we've had this conversation before, but just help me refresh my memory on what ultimately would you like to do?
Pretty much have a talk show or be an analyst like someone like you or
okay.
The big guys like Marcus Spears or whatever.
Well, this job should be open any day now, so come on over. No, seriously, I admire you. I mean, don't ever aim too low. I mean, I'll spare you the cliche. Aim for the stars and be ready when your name is called.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And obviously, you know, I've called up and I've asked questions before. So, I mean, anytime I got a question, I know, call Paul.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where my career turns, but I'm always available as a guidance counselor. So I think I may just hang a shingle out and mentor young people like you to become great broadcasters of the future. That may be my calling in life. So you keep going. I hope your family situation solves itself, and look forward to hearing more about your career soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a good day, Paul.
Thank you, Christian. And I always say this, you cannot go wrong with a name like that. Let's continue. Thank you, Christian. Let's talk to more folks and see what Bert is up to in Birmingham. Hey, Bert.
Hey, Paul. Great interview yesterday with Saban.
Thank you.
On the playoffs, you know, I agree the 14 killed the Bulls, and I don't think adding more teams could do any more damage. I kind of like the idea of 12, but I think they ought to get rid of the championship.
Yeah, I'm really curious what Andy says, because I don't understand how you do 12. I guess you have to have, I guess four schools would have byes, maybe.
Yeah, I guess they'd have to. It seemed like they'd go ahead and do 16, but I just hate the conference champion being at a disadvantage, especially from a team that didn't even play in it. It doesn't happen often, and it's not just because I hate Alabama. I mean, it's just the idea of
I thought that was interesting that Saban said that yesterday. He clearly is not a playoff fan, but he would likely have one less championship without the expansion of the playoff.
Well, you know, that's true, and the more games we play, the less likely Cinderella is going to the big dance. If you give Alabama's repeated chances, you know, you're not going to look up and beat them twice.
You're right. Hey, thanks for the call. Mark in Gastonia, North Carolina. Is this my friend Mark, the crazy guy?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Paul?
I say that laughingly, because I'm not insulting. I'm just kidding. Mark, if I understand this correctly, you're pretty regular caller to a local show in the Charlotte area that I happened to be on yesterday, and Mark came down and visited us many, many years ago.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me out, too. Hey, I was trying to bond with you a little bit since you, like, roasted me on my radio station, and I want to know if you didn't want to come out to Gastonia and go to a good old strip club with me.
Mark, I've been to Gastonia, and give me the lay of the – well, that's not a good word. Give me the choice selections, would you mind?
Yes, sir. Well, we got leather and lace at Gastonia, but then that's about all we got. It's like a double wide.
Okay.
But if you want upscale, you know, we got to go to Uptown Cabaret.
Okay. Well, that – you know, I am not much for strip clubs, Mark. How often do you frequent them?
Well, now that I got older, you know, they don't take my coupons anymore, so okay. I don't go like I used to.
Now, are you a Gamecock fan?
No, sir, I'm a Tar Heel fan. That's
a Tar Heel fan.
Talk to you about.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yes, sir. Hey, Paul. You know, if the Tar Heels were in the SEC, they'd whoop Alabama's butt.
Yeah, Mark, that's why you're a caller on a show in Charlotte, not a caller on this program. Anyway, we have a lot to do on the program. We are coming back with much more. Your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Kirby Smart, an hour away. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we're one day away from the draft. It starts tomorrow night, 8 p.m. And let's check out Adrian in Tennessee. Good afternoon, Adrian. Thanks for the call.
What are you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I know you're doing well. How are you, buddy?
What's going on?
I have a question. For some reason, this morning I woke up and I started Googling Pat Summitt.
Mm-hmm.
For some strange reason, I was like, you know who knows about Pat Summitt? It has to be my buddy, Paul Feinbaum.
Well, that is true. I knew Coach Summitt when she was just beginning her career.
I swear to God, Paul, I don't know why I thought of it this morning, but I Googled Coach Summitt, and maybe it's because we don't have any reason to celebrate things recent here on Rocky Top. And I thought, well, let's see what Coach Summitt. When Coach Summitt passed, somebody said they were talking about the Mount Rushmore of college coaches. They said, well, if Bear Bryant, somebody said, if Bear Bryant hadn't existed, you know, college football would have still progressed. But if Pat Summitt hadn't existed, would women's basketball still have progressed? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, Adrian, I think she's the most important and influential person in the history of the game. So there is my answer.
Do you really?
Yes, and I know that many will point to Geno because he has three more titles.
Or championships.
But I don't care. I don't really care about that. To me, he's blown about as many championships as he's won in the last couple of years. But to me, what Pat Summitt did was she gave young women the motivation to do better and to try to become something in the embodiment of what she overcame, and I think her impact will far outlast Geno. Geno's a fantastic coach. I mean, I think they're 1-2 on any list, but what she had to overcome was a lot more difficult, and I think that is, you hear it every year when we have the opportunity, and others do as well, to talk to her former players. To this day, they live in with absolute reverence to her, and I think that will always be.
Well, the reason I called is because I heard you say when you talked to Kelly Jolly Harper,
sure,
the new coach, you said you thought, my God, I'm talking to Pat Summitt again.
Well, the reason I said that is, Adrian, you have to remember, when I was in college, Pat was, I don't know, maybe mid to late 20s. And for some reason, I mean, I realize Coach Harper is a little bit older, but when I saw her through the screen, it was 1978 all over again, 1979, and I saw Coach Summitt. And it really did something to me. And again, I think when you know somebody doesn't matter who they are, in their youth, it has more of an impact. But she was just a trailblazer at the time. She was still playing. I mean, interestingly, while she was the head coach at Tennessee, she competed for the U.S. team in the 1976 Olympics that won a gold medal. So she still had great ability as a player, which I think helped her to relate to her players who were just a couple of years younger. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Junior is up next. Hey, Junior, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Paul.
Yes,
this
sir.
This is Junior from Alabama. I wanted to ask you about what's going on with these insane people. I just watched my Lady Cats win that volleyball championship with the beautiful, beautiful girls playing there. About biological boys competing against girls. And then the NCAA threatening to remove championships from the states or the schools that don't allow biological boys to compete against girls. And I think Alabama just did. I think Mississippi already put a law against biological boys. I wonder, why haven't we heard any of the women coaches or the NOW, anybody talking about them trying to basically destroy girls' sports? And I wanted to hear your opinion on what you think is going to happen if the NCAA threatens to remove championships from Alabama because Alabama just put the law out to not allow biological boys to play against girls. And I'll shut up and listen to your...
Yeah, thank you, Junior. Yeah, I mean, the NCAA has issued a statement on that, but it's just my interpretation that that's all it is. I have not seen anything more from them than a paper statement. And again, they've been very busy with so many issues from NIL to, and I'm sure you may have seen the announcement overnight that Mark Emmert, at the lowest point perhaps in his tenure as the president of the NCAA, was just awarded with a contract extension that extends till 2025. Let's check in with more calls here. And Joey is up next in Florida. Hello, Joey. Go right ahead.
What's up, Paul? How's it going?
Hey there.
Hey, I don't really have a question. I just wanted to tell you something.
Sure.
I am good friends with Josh and Laura, and I just want to tell you, you're one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my entire life.
Well.
I've met you twice, once in Tuscaloosa, once in Nashville. And I know a lot of people probably don't think that, but I can vouch for you and tell everyone how super of a nice guy you are.
Well, I'm just envious of you because you're friends with Josh and Laura. they are.
Exactly.
They
right?
are. I talked to Laura a couple of days ago, and I shouldn't say this publicly, but I did not predict. Of all the predictions that I've been wrong about, her being the great mother that she has turned out to be was not one that I really saw coming. I just I saw her in more interested in her career, but. I'm nominating her for Mother of the Year. I think she's that good, and Josh is fantastic.
Oh, exactly.
Too. But yeah, well, thank you for saying that. I don't know how to respond. I think sometimes my persona has changed a little bit. I would say, but I've never quite been the persona that I think a lot of the critics of this program have tried to make me out to be.
Exactly. Well, I really enjoyed our conversations. I got a picture taken with you. I've got it hanging up in my house, and really enjoyed meeting you.
Well, that means a lot, Joey, and let's hope that we will see you again soon.
Yes, sir. Take
Thank
care.
You. Thank you very much. Very nice of you to say. Let's check out Dean, who is in Fort Lauderdale. Hello, Dean. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hey, just curious, when you were at Tennessee, was the Greenfield gunner there, Mike Edwards?
Yes, let me think. No, I think Mike may have been before me. Mike was there in the early 70s, wasn't he?
Or late 60s.
No,
yeah,
no,
I was
no.
From the same hometown.
No, I was there in the late 70s, so I remember him, but I didn't know Mike.
Yeah, John Wooden wanted him, and his parents wouldn't let him go that far away from central Indiana. But the reason I called was, you've been talking about the playoffs for football and basketball recently. You know, one thing about the NCAA March Madness, I believe the small schools should get the full flavor of the tournament and never have to play the play-in games. I think like the 6 seed, 7 seed, 8 seed from the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, they ought to be forced to play those play-in games. And as a St. Louisan and graduate of Missouri, it was nice to hear Jay Randolph on your show recently and the interview you did with the commissioner of the Big 12. But what was interesting, if you're curious to know, I had a conversation with the past commissioner of the Big 12, and I gave him all sorts of ideas that the next commissioner did, but he ended up losing his job because he was doing nothing. This is back when they were talking about taking...
Yeah, we're talking about Dan Beebe?
Yes, exactly. So
yeah.
I got tired of listening to Texas and Oklahoma maybe going, you know, to the Pac-12. So on a Sunday night, I called and left him a message on his voicemail. And at the end of the conversation, I said, "You've got a unique name, Beebe. You know, I went to college at Missouri with a guy named Dave Beebe. I'm wondering if you're related." And because of that, he called me back. He goes, "Yeah, that's my brother." So I told him, you know, go after TCU. He says, "Well, they're supposed to be changing, you know, going to another conference." I said, "Well, they haven't left yet." I said, "Go after Tulsa. Go after Memphis. Go after Houston, SMU, Mississippi State, you know, any school that can round out the conference and try to get these people to stay." And it just fell on deaf ears, and probably within 3 weeks he got fired.
Yeah, Dan had a lot of things going against him. In fact, we had a guest on, I think it was last week, that interviewed Dan. Dan has been a consultant for LSU recently, and it became news because of all of their problems. I don't know him well. I've met him once or twice, and I don't think he really got a fair shake, but that's not unusual in this industry. Anyway, we're heading to a break here in a minute. You can continue to give us a ring at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back, and I know you were ready for the football season, and so are we. So let's share with you some news that may help prepare you even more. This is the schedule just coming out as we speak, the SEC Football Media Day schedule. Monday, July 19th, Dan Mullen, Coach O, and Shane Beamer. That is the opening day. Of course, the commissioner will lead it off with his State of the State speech. Kirby Smart headlines the next day. Well, at least starts the next day, Mark Stoops, Lane Kiffin, and Josh Heupel. Lane Kiffin used to be where Josh Heupel currently is. And who do you think's on day three? Anyone? Nick Saban. He headlines that day, Mike Leach, Jimbo Fisher, and Clark Lee. So two competitors there for the national championship. Guess which ones? And the final day, Sam Pittman, Brian Harsin, and Coach Drink. It is just around the corner. Seems like we missed it last year, but we are making up for it this year. We cannot wait to get to Hoover. That is what? May, June, July? A little bit under 3 months away, and the football season will be alive and kicking. Let's get to the current season, which is the NFL draft. It is tomorrow night, and we're delighted to talk to so many different people, including Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network. Trevor, thanks so much. We appreciate you making time, because I would imagine a draft expert like you right now is very busy. Good afternoon, and what has this been like getting ready for tomorrow night?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Paul, and it's been crazy. It changes by the hour, right? I mean, the NFL draft, it's always a mysterious beast. You never exactly know what's going to happen until these teams are on the clock, until – you know, they're making the final pick. I mean, so much changes even within those 10 minutes that they have to make their selection in the first round. But it just seems like here we are about 24 hours from when the first round is going to start. And there's so much uncertainty. There's so much uncertainty at the very top of the draft. We know who's going to go number one and number two with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. But there is so much on the line with this number three overall pick with the San Francisco 49ers. And then at the number four pick with the Atlanta Falcons, they could go so many different ways that are going to dictate the rest of the draft. And we're hearing teams make little moves behind them, which are going to impact what happens in the first round as well. So no doubt about it, this year especially, it's going to be must-watch television.
Well, let's talk about the number three position, because that I don't know how much mystery is left there, but certainly with all the trades, all the machinations that have gone on, how confident are you that will go to Mac Jones?
Yeah, it's between two guys, right? And that's what we've heard down the stretch. The latest report is that when the 49ers made the deal to go from 12 to 3, they did it with Mac Jones in mind. That is what we know right now. But as of late, since they made that trade a month ago, they've opened their doors a little bit to another quarterback, Trey Lance, North Dakota State University kid. And so I think that it's really anybody's game right now. John Lynch and I think the rest of that front office, maybe the rest of the scouting staff, might think that Trey Lance is actually the guy they should be selecting at number three overall. But from what we have heard, Kyle Shanahan himself believes in Mac Jones. He made this trade to go up for Mac specifically. And even though Shanahan has now opened it up a little bit to a different quarterback, it seems like Mac is still his guy. So I would lean Mac Jones right now, but I'm not going to lie to you. It feels like every hour I can convince myself one way or the other. A lot of big name draft people who are plugged in say that Mac Jones is still the guy, but man, it would be hard for me to not pick Trey Lance here at number three. So to answer your question, I don't think it's certain that it's Mac Jones. I really think that it is still open and will be open until the 49ers hand that card in.
Listen, I could go down and ask you very pedestrian questions that are being asked almost around the clock on every network, but I'm more interested in where you are focusing the last, 28 hours before we get to the draft on. What is, outside of the question I just asked you, what are the burning issues for you as somebody who lives in this arena?
Well, I think the big thing is you wonder what the Falcons are going to do it for. Right, because they've got three great options on the board. One, the thing I think first and foremost, they would love to trade back. They would love to move back from number four because they know they can get a great player in this draft, especially one on the defensive side, if that's what they want to do, much later than number four. They don't have to sit at number four to take a player like that. So if a team wants to come up, especially for a quarterback, and they're not going to pick one, of course, the price could be through the roof. We saw what the Niners gave to get up to number three. They wouldn't get that much to go up to number four, but price is very high for them. Brand new head coach, brand new general manager. What they do at number four, are they trading back? Are they drafting tight end Kyle Pitts, which is, that's a very common landing spot. And if they're staying at four, I would tell you, Paul, that that's going to be the selection. But there's also, hey, what could they do at quarterback? And then outside of that, we're talking about the back end of the top 10. I think that's going to be very defining as well. We've heard the Los Angeles Chargers at 13 could want to move up. The New England Patriots at 15. And we've also heard they could have some suitors there. Number six with Miami, number seven with Detroit, number eight with Carolina. I think all three of those teams would move down if the price is right. And so the reason why I say there's so much mystery around this draft isn't because we don't know what players each team will like. It's where they go. It's about who moves up and down this draft. And we went through this process last year because it was such a strange and different offseason. There weren't as many in-person interviews. There wasn't as much certainty. And it's a little bit better this year, but I wonder how gun-shy or maybe over-aggressive general managers are going to be to move up and down in the draft. There's a lot of chatter right now which way to go one way or the other. Last year, when they were on the clock, nobody moved. It was a solid draft, and there wasn't a lot of movement. This year might be the other way around, and that's the big question that we're trying to figure out here 24 hours of draft.
Trey, you mentioned the Patriots and, you know, Cam Newton. He's the quarterback of record, but how tenuous is his position? And if the Patriots moved, who do you think they're looking at?
Well, I think it's a one-year deal, right? They brought him back on a one-year deal, and he wasn't healthy in 2020. I mean, he got COVID himself. He had a hand injury. I mean, it was the first time learning a different offense, first time not in Carolina for the beginning of a season for the first time in his career. And so all of these things, I think, went against him playing as well as you maybe know Cam can play. And so I think that New England certainly brought him back because they didn't want to be backs against the wall. We have to go get a quarterback in this draft, knowing they're picking in the middle because the pickings might be slim. But when I look at things and how it could shape up in the top 10, I think they're going to have their eye on Justin Fields. I really likely do. Bill Belichick is someone who emphasized QB run game, running with power, starting their offense on the ground. I mean, that's something that they did in 2020. And you wonder, is it because that was the best offense they had? That was their strengths? Or is that what they're trying to do? I think it's a little bit of both, but I really do believe that they love having a quarterback that can give them a mobile option. They haven't had it in a while because they had Tom Brady, and I'm not going to sit here and give them an excuse to complain about having Tom Brady. But if you ask me who they're going to have their eye on, I really think it's going to be Justin Fields. And if Fields is not going 3 or 4, I think you might see a little bit of a slide here. And when you get to that 7-8 overall pick with the Detroit Lions, with the Carolina Panthers, look for the New England Patriots to move up if Justin Fields is still on the board. I think that Carolina spot specifically, with only 7 spots in this draft, they're going to be looking to move back, and I think the Patriots could be a great partner for them.
And finally, you alluded to Kyle Pitts a minute ago, Trevor. You have these 4 SEC receivers, 1 tight end and 3 wide receivers, Chase, and then the 2 from Alabama. How do teams try to break them up? I mean, let's take Pitts out of the way. It's pretty obvious. He's different. But the other 3, right, they all do different things. They're all talented. One didn't even play last year.
Yeah, I would tell you, we can definitely curb Kyle Pitts a little bit, because no matter who you talk to in the NFL, he's going to be the number one pass catcher. Like, he is the guy to get. I think he, within those 4 players, he's going to be number one on every single board that you ask for any NFL team. Ja'Marr Chase seems to be the consensus wide receiver 1. I think there will be a few teams in the NFL that view Jaylen Waddle maybe as their wide receiver 1 because he can't teach that speed, right? People compare him to Tyreek Hill, and where I'm not comparing anybody to Tyreek Hill because of how dominant he has been with his speed. Anytime you're even in that realm of being able to be compared to him, that's something that you got to pay attention to. You watch Alabama's film and you watch how much the defense had to adjust and account for where Waddle was on the field when he was healthy. And that tells you all you need to know about how much of a threat this guy is. And so I would tell you that it's probably Pitts at number 1. Ja'Marr Chase seems to be the consensus wide receiver 1. So I would put him 2. I'd say that Jaylen Waddle is probably number 3 on that list, with Devontae Smith number 4. And the only reason why I have the reigning Heisman Trophy winner at number 4 in that ranking is because there are going to be some teams that I believe are much more threshold heavy in their scouting departments or analytics driven, that just are going to be way too hesitant on those lower measurables. You just do not see players in the NFL at 6 feet, 165, 170 pounds, succeed for a long time in the NFL. And when you do, it's pure speed guys. It's guys who are smaller and they're winning vertically. But Devontae Smith, he's an everything kind of a wide receiver. If you're going to draft him early, he's got to be more than just that. And so I think that some teams aren't going to have him on their board because of it. But other teams, they're going to look at exactly what he did this past year, how he was unstoppable no matter what team was going up against him. And I think that even with all this being said, maybe the league is split on him. Still think that he's a top 20 pick, probably a top 15 pick when it's all said and done.
Trevor, many thanks for the time. We had our first caller today, so he's a big fan, listens to your podcast all the time, wants to be just like you. So keep up the good work, and we appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate it, Paul, anytime.
You got it. Great to talk to you. We are going to take a break. Marcus Spears, final hour on the draft as well. It is tomorrow night. Kirby Smart is 30 minutes away. We are coming back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We welcome all of you back to the program. I mentioned Kirby Smart joining us at about 4:15 Eastern time. More of your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. And let's continue here. And Steve is up next. Hey, Steve, good afternoon.
Hey, Hey, Paul, am I on?
Yes, you are. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, man? Huge fan of your show. I had a couple questions for you, man. So I was listening to, I believe it was the 3-man front or the Jocks Roundtable. I'm sure you're familiar with both.
Of course.
And this morning, and they had Greg McElroy on, and they asked him the NFL draft spectacle. Is that a top 10 sporting event to tune into for, like, annually? And he kind of had trouble answering it. He's like, it might be in the top 10. So I wanted to know your take on that. Is it a must watch?
Well, I mean, it is a must watch. Yeah. Cause it affects so many different people. It's one thing. I mean, let's just say the biggest game in college football every year. This year it was Alabama and Ohio State. it's important, but it, you know, if you're in Oakland or Los Angeles or Denver, you really may not care. But with the NFL draft, you've got 32 markets that have teams. And then on top of that, you encompass a much larger area. I mean, just because the Tennessee Titans, for example, you know, people in Huntsville follow them. People in Southern Kentucky follow them. Yeah. People now take great pride. If you're an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan, you care if one of your players gets drafted. So it's a very big event, but it's not something that if you ask me, is it one of the events that you would have to go to every year? I would much rather go to a sporting event than just an event where they call out a bunch of names.
Gotcha. And I have one more quick question, man, and this is kind of half jokingly, but I love both of you guys. This is Coach Saban and you. I'm wondering, what's the over-under? Who's going to last longer, Coach Saban in Tuscaloosa or you at ESPN and you doing what you're doing?
I'm going to bet on Coach Saban, okay?
Really? Oh, all right. All right, thanks, Paul, man.
Thank you. Wow, that's a good
show, man.
That's a good question.
yeah, I know.
Of course, I may have inside information. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's talk to Wendy up next. Hey, Wendy, go right ahead.
Hey, why are they picking on Justin Fields when he was the leader of getting the Big Ten, you know, that we want to play football and going on Good Morning America?
Yeah, what's that have to do with playing? What? What's that have to do with the NFL?
No, I just think with good character and work ethic and.
Well, Wendy, you know, I hear you, but you're talking about billion-dollar franchises, and the owner of whatever franchise it is doesn't really care that. Justin Fields went on Good Morning America. He cares whether he can complete a 10-yard pass under pressure or throw a 70-yard bomb for a winning score. That's why he's chunking out $25 to $100 million. Thanks for the call, though. Let's check out Matthew up next. Hey, Matthew, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, Matthew, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got a question.
Okay.
Why is everybody putting Matt Jones down?
Well, Matthew, you have to remember something. This isn't a popularity contest. These are informed sources at franchises saying this is where it's going to go.
Somebody's so informed that look who just won the Super Bowl.
What's that have to do with it?
Tom Brady is very athletic either. So how many Super Bowl rings has he got now? 7?
Well, but you're talking about you're right about one thing. These guys don't always know what they're talking about. Dak Prescott was a third-round pick, I think. So they don't always get it right. And we're not debating whether they're going to get it right or not. We're just debating whether he's going to go third.
He probably should. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what, I'll take Kyle Trask above the Ohio State quarterback. They fell in love with him for just after one game against Clemson.
I don't think that was the only good game he had.
How'd he do against Alabama?
Nobody did very well. He had no protection. He had no time. You got to remember something, people. The NFL scouts, they can tell when a team is outmanned and outmatched. They're not basing their decision on that. They're basing it on the overall ability, and they're particularly basing it on how they think he's going to play in the future. That's where they're spending their money. We're taking a break here. Kirby Smart coming up in about 15 minutes, and we hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.